bitingly open mouths of the gargoyles that lined the rooftops, much to the gargoyles' disappointment. A kind of spring had even come to the ancient university itself. Tonight would be the eve of small gods, and a new arch-chancellor would be elected. Well, not exactly elected, because wizards didn't have any truck with all this undignified voting business, and it was well known that arch-chancellors were selected by the will of the gods. And this year it was a pretty good bet that the gods would see their way clear to selecting old Virid Wazygoose, who was a decent old boy and had been patiently waiting his turn for years. The Arch-Chancellor of Unseen University was the official leader of all the wizards on the disc. Once upon a time it had meant that he would be the most powerful in the handling of magic, but times were a lot quieter now, and to be honest, senior wizards tended to look upon actual magic as a bit beneath them. They tended to prefer administration, which was safer and nearly as much fun, and also big dinners. And so the long afternoon wore on. The hat squatted on its faded cushion in Wazygoose's chambers, while he sat in his tub in front of the fire and soaped his beard. Other wizards dozed in their studies or took a gentle stroll around the garden in order to work up an appetite for the evening's feast. About a dozen steps was usually considered quite sufficient. In the great hall, under the carved or painted stairs of 200 earlier arch-chancellors, the butler's staff set out the long tables and benches. In the vaulted maze of the kitchens, well, the imagination should need no assistance. It should include lots of grease and heat and shouting, vats of caviar, whole roast oxen, strings of sausages like paper chains strung from wall to wall, the head chef himself at work in one of the cold rooms, putting the finishing touches to a model of the university carved for some inexplicable reason out of butter. He kept doing this every time there was a feast. Butter swans, butter buildings, whole rancid, greasy, yellow menageries. And he enjoyed it so much, no one had the heart to tell him to stop. In his own labyrinth of cellars, the butler prowled amongst his casks, decanting and tasting. The air of expectation had even spread to the ravens who inhabited the Tower of Art, 800 feet high and reputedly the oldest building in the world. Its crumbling stones supported thriving miniature forests high above the city's rooftops. Entire species of beetles and small mammals had evolved up there, and since people rarely climbed it these days, owing to the tower's distressing tendency to sway in the breeze, the ravens had it all to themselves. Now they were flying around in a state of some agitation, like gnats before a thunderstorm. If anyone below is going to take any notice of them, it might be a good idea. Something horrible was about to happen. You can tell, can't you? You're not the only one.
What's got into them? Shouted Rincewind above the din.
The librarian ducked as a leather-bound grimoire shot out from its shelf and jerked to a mid-air halt on the end of its chain. Then he dived, rolled, and landed on a copy of Maleficio's Discovery of Demonology that was industriously bashing at its lectern.
Ooh,
he said. Rincewind pushed his shoulder against a trembling bookshelf and forced its rustling volumes back into place with his knees. The noise was terrible. Books of magic have a sort of life of their own. Some have altogether too much. For example, the first edition of the Necrotelecomicon has to be kept between iron plates. The true Arte of Levitazione has spent the last 150 years up in the rafters, and Geforge's Compendium of Sex Magic is kept in a vat of ice in a room all by itself, and there's a strict rule that it can only be read by wizards who are over 80 and, if possible, dead. But even the everyday grimoires and incunabula on the main shelves were as restless and nervy as the inmates of a chicken house with something rank scrabbling under the door. From their shut covers came a muffled scratching like claws.
"What did you say?"
screamed Rincewind.
"Ooh."
A magical accident in the library, which, as has already been indicated, is not a place for your average rubber stamp and Dewey Decimal employment, had some time ago turned the librarian into an orangutan. He had since resisted all efforts to turn him back. He liked the handy long arms, the prehensile toes, and the right to scratch himself in public. But most of all, he liked the way all the big questions of existence had suddenly resolved themselves into a vague interest in where his next banana was coming from. It wasn't that he was unaware of the despair and nobility of the human condition. It was just that, as far as he was concerned, you could stuff it.
Right.
Rincewind, as honorary assistant librarian, hadn't progressed much beyond basic indexing and banana fetching, and he had to admire the way the librarian ambled among the quivering shelves, here running a black leather hand over a trembling binding, here comforting a frightened thesaurus with a few soothing simian murmurings.